You're listening to the Hour of Honor here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network with your hosts, Dale Cooper and Colin Lifelong.
Good evening, WWPN fam, or whatever time of the day this podcast finds you. My name is Gerald Cooper, and this is the Hour of Honor, the best damn Ring of Honor review and analysis show in all the internets. All of them. How you doing, folks? Glad to be with you, glad to be recording, glad to be talking some Ring of Honor again here today. Fun show. Really fun show. I think y'all, if you haven't seen it, run and watch it. It was definitely a good time. Outside of that, I've got a lot on my mind. Quite a bit on my mind. The regular listeners of the show are like, oh shit, it's going to be another long one. Maybe. You never know with me, maybe. So, I'm going to complain a bit. It's a wrestling podcast. What do you expect? I'm going to complain a bit and personal. So, somebody stole a flash drive of mine. Now, it's a 64 gig flash drive. It may have cost somewhere between 10 and 15 bucks on Amazon. And while it's mine and they shouldn't have done it, you know, that's a bit of an aside. They knew what was on it. And I think that's the thing that's get me fired up. They knew that my shows were on it. These are the raw and uncut shows. And foolishly, this part's all me. I left it out in the public space. Dick move. Like, it's just, even with that, there's no way to get around what a colossal dick move that is. I put a lot of work into these shows, if you believe it or not. And I'm proud of these shows, you know. And I talk about them. I try to get the word out. Glad hand. And for somebody to actually rob me of my work in a lot of ways is a massive dick move. That's enough crying for the moment. The other thing that's on my mind is how exactly am I going to approach watching House of Cards? It's a tough one for me because this is easily one of the finest shows on TV, you know what I mean, ever. Anybody knows anything about me? Number one and number two, Mad Men, and then Game of Thrones. Fanatical as I am about Game of Thrones, Mad Men speaks to me in a way that no show ever has. If you haven't seen Mad Men, stop what you're doing. Even if you're listening to me right now, it's worth it. Stop what you're doing and get caught up on Mad Men. But House of Cards, like in this political climate, and we've... Andrew Bello is probably our most vocal politico here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. Friend of the show, friend of the network, rather, Billy Ray Valentine, also politico and world-class conspiracy theorist. Ben Hameen has a show, which I listen to. Big fan of Ben. Stevie Richards is on that show, as well as the Greek God. There's another member I haven't heard because I just started listening to it. Sorry, guys. But that's also a great mind opening. Even if you don't agree, you're going to get something out of those shows. Even if you don't agree, it's going to raise some questions. It's going to get you thinking. With our political climate being what it is, this couldn't be a better time for House of Cards to come back. And I am so intrigued very specifically because of the way the last season ended, I am so intrigued at where they go. You know, again, they've got their story and everything, but there's some stuff going on in the world right now that I can't imagine that they don't pick from and throw into it. If you haven't seen House of Cards, I'd have a hard time arguing against Kevin Spacey as I'm flaking on a character's name. Francis something. I'm totally flaking right now. But that this character, he's the lead, and at this point he's the president. It's his greatest work. And you are talking about Kevin Spacey, one of the finest actors in all of Hollywood of the past 20 years, easily. And this oh man, it's driving me nuts. I'm like, I'm not gonna reach for my phone. Francis Underwood, there it is. Frank Underwood is one of the put him up there with Don Draper, put him up there with Tony Soprano. Any great character on television that there's ever been, Frank Underwood is in the conversation. Go watch that show. I'm struggling on how to watch this. Like, do I binge it? Do I, you know, take it slow? Because these shows, story wise, are very, very dense. They're you know, I guess some of the best shows just have a lot going on, and they're completely cohesive. Game of Thrones being one of them. These are not casual watches, and they're so engrossing. You don't want them to be. So, do I dedicate a weekend to just knocking it off, or do I, you know, to binge or not to binge, basically? And I'm thinking, because, you know, life right now, there's so much going on. I'm thinking I want to do, like, maybe, and this will, and I'm, as I'm saying it, I know this shit's not going to happen. Like, I'm going to get so into it, I'm not going to be able to leave that chair. Unless I have to. But I'm thinking maybe two episodes a day, so I can just get it and digest it, and, you know, get the brain doesn't work like it used to. The other four seasons, like, kind of remembering a lot of the touch tones and some of the through lines from the other season. I'm rambling right now. Sorry, guys. But that's, if you haven't seen House of Cards, go watch it. It's a fantastic show. The other thing I had on my mind is the talk about the women's tournament in WWE. It's Ring of Honor show. We can't. There isn't a show that we have on the WWPN that doesn't, somewhere along the line, just because they're the big dog, relate to what WWE is doing. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have bits and pieces of the conversation going in that direction, and justifiably so. They're the leader, even though, again, they follow. They look at, no matter what anybody says, if it's not Vince McMahon himself, he's got people who look at and follow the other companies. Even if not directed by him, they know that you can't stay in the bubble. Even though these Ring of Honor and these smaller companies aren't competition, in quotes, they are competition. They're doing different things. And throughout WWE's history, they've picked and they've pilfered some of the better parts of other companies. So it's always going to be, no matter what is said about anything, there's always going to be some, even if it's in the most infinitesimal way, we're going to touch back to WWE in a way. I think the women's tournament is an awesome idea. I think it's a tremendous idea. I think it's a great concept. I think it's overdue. And with that, I'm sort of waiting for a new Women of Honor something to kind of just, you know, be presented to us. Not that Ring of Honor isn't fine the way it is. again, this episode in particular was really good for a bunch of reasons, but just to stay on topic, I won't go there quite yet. I think right now with everything going on in women's wrestling, they've got to get something out there. Not that they haven't, but there needs to be a big presentation or some type of integration of women's wrestling on Ring of Honor TV in some form or another. I think they're missing the boat right now, with the Oscars out there, with a dead horse, but the women's revolution over there in WWE, Alexa Bliss coming up and just being this phenomenal, and kind of out of nowhere, this phenomenal heel, and Charlotte being what she's become in her heel role. And again, all of the ladies are fantastic at their job. A lot of times better than the men. I think there's an opportunity for Ring of Honor if they want to take it. And it also gets me thinking about something I said about Vince McMahon in one of the other episodes, is that it just solidifies the fact that Vince McMahon is dark side. He is. He wants us body, mind, and soul. And for the true geeks out there, the WWE Network is the anti-life equation. And he's got it. You know, he's in broad strokes, he's got it. That's a million and a half subscribers now? So there's an interest there, and we're all tuning in. And like I said, I don't remember the podcast, but it was me, D-Will, and Bello. Misery. We were on a podcast, and he doesn't want us to turn away from it. As wrestling fans, that's our through line. That's our base. We're going to come to the WWE Network for wrestling, but we're going to give you some comedy. The Edge and Christian show, Holy Foley, and even that comedy kind of flows into reality. Oh, you like reality? Okay, here's what was it called? Breaking Ground. They're going to start. I'm positive, and if they got to put their, they have a studio, and they have their own films. I'm positive they're going to start putting their films on there. At some point, they probably really need to look at putting on some of the documentary style DVDs that they've been putting out for years. Which actually, those are the things that kept me, when I was a lapsed fan, they kept me kind of tuned in to what was going on in WWE. Oh, you guys like women's wrestling? Here's a women's tournament. Oh, I hear this British thing's big. We're going to give you real British wrestling. Vince McMahon is dark side, and he wants us all. That he really, and it's just smart. If you have a central product that we already enjoy, give us more. Just segue into other things, and that's that's what's going on there. Vince is the dark god of professional wrestling. And if you guys hang in with the Warner movies, they're not DC movies, folks. They're Warner movies, because if they were DC and they had DC people writing these films, they'd be a lot better. Sidebar. If you're hanging in with the DC films, you're going to see DC. I said it myself. The Warner films. You're going to see Darkseid very soon if you're not familiar with them. But go get familiar with them. Some great great Darkseid stories out there. Who Vince McMahon is like. I guess the last thing that was on my mind were the two great turns, because one's not really a turn. The two great turns over the past couple of weeks, and why one to me, is better than the other. Is preferable. Preferable is my word. Is the preferable word to use there. So we probably got the most purely exciting turn, swerve, however you want to see it, where Marty Skrull is inserted into the Bullet Club and Adam Cole is excommunicated. That was exciting. And that was big. And I talked about it, if it was last week or the week prior. It was cool. I'm very interested to see where it goes. Like I said before, it's cool that it happened. It's cool that it's Marty Skrull. It's cool that there's that established star, or at least rising star, in what used to be Cole's position. But I have my concerns in that. I feel that Marty Skrull had more potential, for lack of a better term, as a singles, and I guess I worry about him getting swallowed up by the Bullet Club name. Again, or it could just make him bigger, but those are my concerns. And I feel that the swerve was well done, well constructed. The appearance of Kenny Omega was the thing that made it. And that, if you watched it, you put another brick in Kenny Omega's wall. That elevates Omega. He's the puppet master. He's in control. He's manipulating what's going on in the Bullet Club West, so to speak. Then we get the actual turn over on TakeOver a couple of weeks ago. Gargano and Ciampa are no more. There's no more DIY. That shit was fantastic. That was fantastic. Every podcast you've heard in the last couple of weeks, if it was about WWE or not, or about NXT or not, they addressed this because it was a great turn. I think a lot of people saw it coming, but I don't think they saw it coming the way WWE gave it to us. And here's why, in my view, this was the better swerve slash turn. Pure emotion. This was built in places that weren't necessarily directly connected with the NXT television show. You have these two guys who were more or less thrown together as a tag team. I don't know if they were friends prior, but they developed this relationship, and we're watching this. We're watching these two guys come together, and maybe they don't have a career without each other. Well, a career in NXT. Who knows? I'm a fan of both the guys. And we get them at Gargano's wedding, and Ciampa's his best man. And we get the glorious bombs, which helped help elevate. Wow, flaking again on names. Bobby Roode, sorry, how could I forget that with that music? The glorious bombs, the series of little videos, help elevate Bobby Roode. And there was a great one. Where we don't even notice that it's not Ciampa, it's Biff Busick. I can't think of his name offhand on what his NXT name is, because their look is so similar. You're like, wait, what's going on here? And it's like, wait a minute, what? And then Ciampa comes into the shot. It's they've just been doing some great stuff, and we're watching the progression between these guys as sort of brothers in arms. They're growing together, developing together. We feel like we know these guys at a different level. And then it's at 2, Brute? Do you know what I mean? Like that's what it was. I watched this the day after between the WWPN chat that we have, between the news and everything else. I was still jacked up around this. And the difference between these two, the major difference is emotion between these two angles. It's cool heels and dicks, because everybody involved in a Bullet Club, ROH, they're some level of dick. I love all those guys, but they're very dickish as characters. Had to be specific there. And then you get these brothers, and who can't feel that? Who doesn't relate to betrayal? Who doesn't connect with that? And it goes into like the heel face thing. Wade Keller talks about the heel face dynamic, and there's money in heel face, and he's not wrong. I think he overplays it, but he's not wrong. I mean, I could go into the CM Punk tweener thing with John Cena, and that worked for a myriad of reasons, but you could, you know, the thing that I point to most is John Cena and CM Punk were each other's opposite number. Cena was the well-liked jock, and CM Punk was the snarky punk. And you put a conflict between guys who are different, you get magic. And those two had it. But on the heel face dynamic, on the brothers betraying, that's everywhere. You can't, I mean, that's, that shit's myth, y'all. Like, you can't get past that. In the store, it's Thor Loki in modern terms. It's I'm drawing a blank on straight up myth stuff, but it is like the gods in Greek mythology betrayed each other all the time, and they were all related, and that's what made it great. The man that scene where Gargano's just not even there. And he's kind of, he's got his head sort of cradled on Ciampa's leg, and the look on Ciampa's face, it's probably my interpretation, because I think I see shit more deeply than others, but it's not anger or viciousness in his face. There's like almost a trepidation. What do I do next? What did I just do to my brother? And that was the snapshot for me after, you know, the beginning of the beatdown. And then he proceeded to whoop him more. But that's to me always like the cool shit. Listen, I'm reviewing Ring of Honor, but I gotta be square with you. Cool is fine. There's nothing wrong with cool stuff happening. But like Mr. Bello said, that Gargano has that Ricky Morton likability. You feel for this guy when he's getting his brain beat in and he's selling his ass off. You just organically feel for him. Now you put that brother angle, that betrayal of a brother angle in the middle of that. I'm connected to this. Cool is fine. There's nothing wrong with cool. There's nothing wrong with fun. There's nothing wrong with shocking. All that stuff's great. And I really do like the Skrull going to the Bullet Club angle. I do. But emotionally connecting with an angle, being mad at Ciampa when you know it's all like, this is, you got me. You know what I mean? You got, and that's what fiction should do. It doesn't matter if you're reading it. It doesn't matter if it's in a movie. It doesn't matter if it's pro wrestling. We should be engaged at an emotional level when stuff happens. We should feel something real and not analyze all the time. You come out of it, and of course, you know, it, like especially us, this is what we do. We get on a microphone and we talk about this stuff. We break the stuff down. But in that moment, we should be upset. You know what I mean? We should be worried about what's going to happen to these guys' family. And there's some I didn't read the stuff. I'm sorry, I would love to attribute this to somebody, but I can't. There's some tweets from Gargano's wife about the relationship. I'm like, man, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Continuing on with the story from the social media angle, that's how you do it. Instead of just, you know, going through the motions, this is what we're doing, and ABC, 1, 2, 3, and no emotional resonance, no connection. And if you have any, you know, awareness of these guys' journey up until this point, for the briefest moment, it had to affect you. If not, you have no soul. It's official. I'm telling you, if that angle didn't get you riled up, didn't get you worried, didn't get you upset, you have no soul. Yeah, so that's it, because I've run on long enough here. But, the other thing. Our own JB, the prodigal one, with CEO Hayes and Ant from Rant with Ant, had a really great Smart Talk, which is one of our YouTube exclusives. I just watched it Sunday. I think it had been up a couple of days prior to that. And that was a good time, man. I can't say enough about WWPN's hosts and just how intelligent and funny and, you know, like we got it all covered, man. And in all fairness, Ant, first time I'd ever listened to you, knew you're a part of the extended family. Great, awesome on that show. So give it a listen. And we got some other things coming up. So just try to be aware of the, and we'll put it out. Look at our Twitter and social media and everything. There should be another Smart Talk coming up very soon. I'm slated to be on one. I don't know if it's Smart Talk or something else, but I know I'm going to be doing a lot of arguing and getting into it with the guys. So it's a good time. And of course, check out thewwpn.com. That's where all the good stuff is. All right. Again, rambled on long enough. There's actually a Ring of Honor show that needs to get reviewed. So let me stop talking all of this WWE stuff and get into some good old ROH. You saw me standing by the This week's show, we get a cold open and go directly into the aforementioned Adam Cole being fired / excommunicated / beat to hell by the Bullet Club. Kenny Omega's on the big screen. He says what he says about getting rid of Adam Cole. He inserts Marty Scurll, and I've been fired from jobs, but thankfully never like this. The Kenny Omega fired the living shit out of Adam Cole. So this week's show is from the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, hometown. Colt Cabana and Ian Riccaboni, starting off bad. Ian Riccaboni on commentary. The show opens with the Bullet Club coming to the ring. Adam Page and the Young Bucks. Very celebratory. And not at all what I expected. On social media, I didn't see what they were going to do. So, instead of talking about it, I'm just going to play it for you.
In case you've been living under a rock, there is now a new era in the Bullet Club.
Might be an understatement, Colt.
All right. Out with the old, in with the new.
That's right. We shocked the world. Absolutely nobody saw that coming unless you watch our YouTube series, Being the Elite. We welcome our newest member, who's probably the most evil person I've ever met in my life. They call him the villain. The villain! Murder! Scar!
Interesting man in professional wrestling, the ROH World Television Champion, who has played a night at War of the Worlds himself, Colt.
Yeah, great night for him, defeating Matt Sydal, an international superstar. But that's the thing with the Bullet Club. That's the deal. They stay on the hottest trends. They are the coolest in the world. Adam Cole is getting a little too out of touch for that, and they upgraded with this man from Cambridge.
Thank you, Nicholas. You know what? You're right. It is about time, because not only in New York City did we shock the freaking world, but my God, didn't we cause a spot of bother?
Do you speak British, Ian?
Ah, it's foreign to me. The reign of wickedness did continue, though.
And you know what, guys? I know you guys love to throw a super kick party! But tonight, let's do something a little bit different. I would love to invite all of you to a tea party with Marty!
Doesn't sound as intimidating, Ian.
He's gonna need a couple thousand teacups.
So, security, bring out the English tea, bring out the crumpets, and let's get this tea party with Marty on the road!
I don't see any tea in his hand, do you?
No, the three-time Ring of Honor World Champion Adam Cole, no tea in hand.
What are you doing?
Why have a tea party with Marty when you can have story time with Adam Cole, baby? Now, for some reason, the four of you and rest of Bullet Club thought it was a good idea to kick old Adam Cole out of Bullet Club. I'm about to explain why you guys are complete and utter morons. I am your only three-time Ring of Honor world champion. At 27 years old, I am the franchise player of this company and the best damn pro wrestler on the planet. And now Bullet Club has created, well, an enemy in Adam Cole. So the one thing that we can take away from New York City with Bullet Club kicking me out is that you guys made the biggest mistake of your entire lives.
Hangman?
These guys might have run you out of Bullet Club, but damn it, I'm gonna run you out of Ring of Honor!
Whoa! The problem solver stepping up here, Cole! Hangman Page!
Wait. So let me get this straight, Hangman. I'm guessing that means you want a match with me? Well, if it's a match you want, sweetheart, it's a match you've got. Give me your best shot.
Wait just a minute. We have a full lineup here tonight, Colt.
All right. Admittedly, that was a little long. But worth actually hearing for yourselves. Tremendous reaction to the bad guys. I can't say enough about the Young Bucks. I probably say this every other show. Young Bucks won me over. They are super entertaining. Marty Scurll's been one of my favorites. Like I said, he's not really a heel. He's a showman. I don't know where to put him. You know, nefarious deeds notwithstanding, I don't know where to put him on a heel scale because he's beloved, and he plays to the crowd. And I've said all this stuff before, so I won't this dead horse. I won't beat. And again, Cole coming out, which I didn't see happening, got a fantastic reaction as well. And we talk about it quite a bit here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. And it's something, as a comic book fan, as a fan of fiction, I am very into the heel face dynamic, as I said in the very long opener. How do you do this now? I mean, you know, beyond Adam Cole leaving, do they out heel each other? Is Adam Cole merely the de facto face because of what happened to him? It's like, for me, it's just a little odd. And it's something that eventually I'm going to like get into, and maybe I'll suggest a smart talk to JB about really what's a heel and what's a face anymore. And as I mentioned to about Wade Keller, Wade's not wrong when he says the money is in the heel face dynamic. In many ways, the emotion, the connection is in the heel face dynamic when the lines are drawn and it's clear who's right and who's wrong. Even though, you know, sidebar, it could be very intriguing when those lines are blurred, without a doubt. But when it's you're the bad guy and you're the good guy and you're trying to do the right thing and you're just a son of a bitch, that's when the engagement is greater. Again, cool as this is, I have my issues with it. Again, I don't think I've ever gotten into this, and I'm not going to go too far with this, I promise. I'm a Superman guy. You know what? I have gotten into this, but I'm going to do it again. I'm a Superman guy because he is just and self-sacrificing. And he is a zenith of everything we as people should aspire to be, specifically in a realm of myth. And you definitely don't want me to go down that rabbit hole. And you need something to the contrary to bring those qualities out. And here, there's just a bunch of assholes doing asshole shit. And that's not necessarily good or bad. Like I said, it's a cool angle. It's a lot of fun. It's exciting for the possibilities. But I don't know how you take two quote-unquote bad guy factions, two of the same side, basically, and give that emotional resonance. You know, it's going to be fun. You know, it's going to be interesting. But I just don't see how take Daniel's ascent to the title. Daniel's wasn't necessarily a babyface, but his story was absolutely a babyface story. So you could see that going up against the brash, arrogant champion in Adam Cole. This is, you know, I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, but this is just two of the same faction going up against each other. And I don't see how you get people, you know, outside of the cool factor involved emotionally. So that's that on that one. The next segment, we get the finish to the Top Prospect tournament, where Josh Woods is celebrating his win. David Starr attacks him after his victory and talks quite a bit of shit to him after he beats him down. I looked up David Starr, having not known a ton about him. A couple of matches on YouTube. There was one against Michael Elgin that was quite good. The guy's a hell of a character. He's a really good wrestler. But the guy's a hell of a character. I see why Ring of Honor, I don't know if they signed him specifically, but why they're using him. You're going to get some really good, really interesting matches, and you're going to get a lot of cool heel work. So this match is, it's good. It's fun. This is a fun little match. Very physical. From what I understand, David Starr has been around for 10 years or better. And I could see why they put him with Woods watching this match, because Woods just needs some polish. I'm watching this match. His background is MMA. So I'm watching this match thinking to myself, this guy reminds me of Ken Shamrock back in the day. He very, very directly reminds me of Ken Shamrock. Like, had Shamrock been given the time, because he was trained by the Hearts, and I don't think a lot of people know that. That Brett mentions it in his book. Given the time, Ken Shamrock could have been anything he wanted. And not to go too far off on a tangent, again, I remember, and I don't know the venue specifically, but there was an interview where Paul Heyman was being, you know, they were talking to Heyman, whoever it was, and he talked about the vision for ECW after you moved it away from the extreme hardcore style, and he was talking about going into the MMA style, which, to me, again, reminds me how far ahead Paul Lee was. Like now, Josh Woods is a man of his time, because that's kind of like MMA has been very much integrated in wrestling. But had Paul had his druthers, we may be someplace else in wrestling. Which I know that's okay, dude, you're all over the place. But I mean, you think about how hardcore ECW pushed the business forward in a lot of ways. And we've clearly gotten away from that. But what if ECW never went under and Paul executed his vision and we got 6-7 years of more realistic MMA style, where will we be today? Those are the places my mind goes. Woods goes directly after Star hits an explode on the outside. The crowd is shitting all over Woods, and I can only guess that's because from Cabana's commentary, Star had been around for quite some time and had had some lineage here in Philly, which, again, being from Philly and a wrestling fan, I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about him until, you know, a few weeks prior. They have a nifty little exchange on the apron where Woods goes for a shoulder block from the inside out through the ropes. Star catches his head, DDTs him on the apron. Star hits a lariat on the inside, gets two. They have a forearm exchange where Woods catches one of Star's punches and kind of shows off his martial arts training with a really gorgeous judo throw. I can see why they like this guy. I mean, he's with the time. He's clearly going to be something, because when he goes into that, if he can really incorporate that MMA style, because a lot of the stuff looks, he's still rough. He's still very rough looking, but this throw in particular and some of these submissions, the way he comes out of certain moves, the guy could absolutely, again, with a little polish, do some things. Later on, Star hits a tilt-a-whirl pancake, which is basically, we usually see somebody tilt-a-whirl into a backbreaker while he falls back in. Self-explanatory, pancakes the guy. Hits a thrust kick, stack Woods up for a two. Woods kicks out hard, and as Star is kind of twisting and coming back down to the mat, Woods catches him in a lapel lock. It's like you almost don't even see it. It's so fluid. Again, like I can't say I was low on the guy, because I didn't know him. It was the first time me watching him progress through the top prospect tournament. But he's looking very, I mean, again, from still rough, but looking very good here. They go blow for blow. Woods no sells a hard chop to the chest and retaliates with some really vicious martial arts style knees, where he grabs Star's head and lays in a couple of shots. Star, I want to say, he pushes him off and lays him out with a high knee. Star falls out. Star gets into a heel hook and fights out of that. Woods hits a running knee to the corner, does that martial arts roll through that I guess sort of became a staple of Bill Goldberg's, because I'm not 100% sure what it's called. And as he's coming out of the roll, he's right on that leg into what they're calling a Endo bar. And Josh Woods surprisingly submits David Starr. Hard to tell if this is going to be a feud going forward, but as a way to showcase both of these guys and really help Josh Woods along, see, you know, the way it was laid out and everything, David Starr was the perfect opponent. So, and maybe that's the goal. Like they're going to give him, I guess, well, not in this case, because the crowd was all for David Starr. They were completely completely into him. But maybe give Woods wins over guys that aren't in ROH's upper echelon, but can move him forward and tighten up his work a little bit. It was a good match. I actually really enjoyed. I didn't expect much, but I was pleasantly surprised. So they go to and come back from break, and there's a featurette on Punishment Martinez. And Eric Abani, bless your soul, I know you're being told to do it. I know what they want out of this guy, or I believe I know what they want out of this guy. But the oversell of seeing the little package, and there's another joke for the guys to jump on me about. To see the package, you know, where it's the red hue, and he's making the faces, and he's doing the growling, and Rick Abani says that the package gave him chills. Why are you overselling it? I take it back to the Kevin Sullivan, BJ Whitmer, Army of Darkness stuff. It doesn't fit here. And giving it the WWE treatment of hyperbole doesn't help. It doesn't fit. It's completely incongruent with what Ring of Honor is. They're going in a different direction, fine. But the way they're selling this character, it doesn't fit. Don't make him an inhuman monster. That era's done. Make him a, you know, he's well, they got that over on the other show, but just make him a big scary dude. But he's a scary dude because he can hurt you, not because he's risen from the dead or any of this ridiculous. Not, you know, again, Undertaker, I love you, but he was the Undertaker, and they got a little bit away from the supernatural stuff with him. No. just leave that someplace else, please. The next segment, Silas Young comes out with the Beer City Bruiser in tow, and he cuts a promo on Lethal. He complains basically that Lethal is getting unwarranted opportunities, and he's the golden boy of ROH, sort of typical bitter Silas stuff. And I love this guy. Like, Silas Young, I mean, there's a lot going on in Ring of Honor. There's a ton of talent, and all of these guys are great. But Silas Young is like he's easily one of my favorite guys. It's just, there's something about, it takes me back to Taz, talk about ECW, it takes me back to Taz. Taz was, when he was at his height, he was just miserable, just, I'm here to hurt people and that's it. But like Silas's bitterness at the world just kind of works. I don't know what it is. But I've said it a bunch of times. His voice, the things he says, his overall look doesn't match what he does in a ring. And it's like, I don't know. It's like it's almost disarming. Like you would think, which he does, by the look of him and the way he speaks, he would just smack you in the mouth. But no, guess what? I'm gonna go out here and out wrestle you, and be more athletic and be quicker. It's the whole him and the Bruiser, the whole package. I couldn't love it anymore. Lethal comes to the ring and he interrupts Young. He says something akin to, this isn't the company where we talk about our problems. Any challenges, Young to a match. Young begs off and he does the, no, I'm doing it on my time, not on yours thing. And Bruiser attacks Lethal from behind. And they get a match going. And Young gets on commentary. And I didn't mention it with the Bullet Club segment. Cabana's fucking awesome. Cabana is awesome. Cabana's the perfect sort of he's got the credibility as a great wrestler. He knows what he's talking about move for move. He calls stuff in a very realistic way. He He keeps it light. He keeps it funny. It's like he's like the perfect color guy, especially particularly for Ring of Honor. The stuff he some of the one liners he pulls off in the Bullet Club segment are hilarious, and he's also great here. He and Silas have the perfect chemistry. It's for the commentary alone, this match is worth going back to look. Like they've got a weird sort of back and forth thing, and Rick Abani was like the perfect mediator almost between them in the segment. Like I said, Bruiser attacks Lethal from behind, and this is really a fight. We don't get to see a whole lot of Lethal, the wrestler, super athletic guy. We do get a cool spot because again they're just laying leather in this. There's a spot where Lethal sets Bruiser up in a chair on the outside and does a cannonball into him. Yeah, and that's I think Lethal also does his hip toss flip into the basement drop kick, and that's maybe all the wrestling, sports, entertainment, everything else is a fight. They end up outside. Lethal jumps off the top rope in a high cross body on Bruiser. They fight a little bit, get a little bit too close, I guess, to the commentator's table. And Lethal goes after Young, which is a mistake because Young actually just gets the better of him in the exchange before Bruiser even interjects himself. They get Lethal in a ring, and he had been favoring his leg throughout the match. And they start going after it. And then Bobby Fish comes out, chases him off, and I guess continues that feud. It's kind of why I'm not into the news, because it's a little disheartening to see Bobby Fish here, and this is taped. I think this might be at this point maybe 3 weeks old, and we're just getting it. Depending on where you are, Saturday or Sunday, it's kind of disheartening to see a talent like Bobby Fish on the TV, but we know that there's a really good chance that he won't be there for long, and Fish and Young, for what I like wrestling to be, maybe not the great storytelling, but the hitting between these two guys, the physicality, I just want it to happen. I don't want to see Fish walk out of the company without having this match. So they clearly have an arrangement, if not a contract. So hopefully we get it, and WWE doesn't snatch all of these guys up before all this good stuff happens. The next match, Cody comes to the ring. Cody, the American Nightmare. I think I'm just going to start calling him the American Nightmare, because as much as I love this guy, I think he's one of the best characters in televised wrestling right now. I really believe that. I've said it more than once. Cody's not the most intimidating name. I wish they would just give him his damn name back. You know who that is. I wish they just give him his name back. I'm going to start, like we were calling his dad Dream. I think I'm personally just going to start calling him Nightmare, because that shit's down scary. It just like, and it gets me thinking about this whole mess with the Hardys, which I'm not going to do. People owning names, just companies, stop being dicks. I know it's never going to happen, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Stop being dicks. Like, give the guy's name back. It's his name. Give it to him. So, Nightmare. That sounds a little crazy, too. Cody comes to the ring, and he cuts a promo essentially saying that he's not the ROH champion because the office doesn't want him to be champion. And we remember the ending to the world match where, where Cody's got Lethal in the Lethal in the figure four. He can't get free, or Lethal can't get free as Daniels comes off with the best moonsault ever and gets the victory. So he's not attributing that to, you know, again, Daniels being smarter than everybody, smartest guy in the room, which is true. He's attributing it to politics. And he basically accosts Cabana on the outside of the ring and says, hey, you tell me what you said. And he's doing it like he's Exhibit A, like he's in a court somewhere. You tell me what you said into this microphone on that call at the pay-per-view. And I kind of dug it because it looked very impromptu, because Cabana's first answer wasn't it. And he's like, oh, yeah, right. I said that Lethal's shoulders were down. He's like, ah, that's it. That's it. Lethal's shoulders were down. I had that man beat. So he's, again, great heel work, not taking the responsibility himself, not giving Daniels his proper due, and he's blaming it on politics. He's blaming it on everybody, but, you know, him not being as smart as Daniels or as aware as he should have been in that moment. Kaz comes out and Cody tries some misdirection, but Kaz is ready for him, toss him to the floor. Kaz slingshots, oh, I'm sorry, Frankie Kazarian versus Cody Rhodes. Cody, the American Nightmare. I'm all discombobulated. Right, so Cody's on the floor and Kaz slingshots himself over the ropes and hits a Rana on the floor. That looked so damn dangerous and so scary, but they end up pulling it off. Kaz guillotines Cody between the ropes and slingshots in with a leg drop for a two count. Kaz does a float over neck breaker, which looks gorgeous. I cannot, you know, again, these guys wrestle every week. I cover it every week, so you've heard this stuff a million times. Frankie Kazarian looks tremendous. From looking incredibly fit to just the way he's getting around the ring, he looks incredible. They go to break, and back from break, they're fighting on the outside. Cody smashes a beer in Kaz's face and hits him with a hard clothesline on the outside. Cody hits a delayed gore buster in the ring and gives Kazarian a wicked Alabama slam. Just like whiplash, snap your neck action. That's, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said this is the most dangerous move in wrestling. I don't know about that, but it looks like this could just break your damn neck. I mean, it was such a whip to it when he did it. He didn't take anything off of the move. Cody catches Kaz with a rotating power slam. And Cody's on offense for a long, long stretch. He gets a disaster kick, knocking Kaz to the floor. Inside out, Cody misses a double jump plancha, lands on his feet, and he runs at Kaz with a boot. He misses him, but he nails some guy on a ring crew. I actually had a hard time seeing it at first. And I guess Cody's more or less discombobulated, taken out or whatever, because Kaz comes back. He cross bodies Cody, and the ring crew guy is right behind him on a chair. So bad night if you're setting up the ring in Ring of Honor. In the ring, Kaz gets the better of an elbow exchange, does a springboard back elbow. He hits a backstabber, then an unprettier combo, slingshot cutter on Cody from the outside in. Cody misses a disaster kick and catches a mini. Okay, we got to explain this a little bit better. Cody goes for a disaster kick and misses as he's coming down. I don't think I've seen this submission a day in my life. If you've seen it before and you know what it is, Gerald Del Cooper on Twitter, get at me. As he's coming down, he turns it into this really crazy looking submission, but Cody's one leg is free, so he kicks out of it, or kicks Cody to get out of it, rather. There's an exchange finishing with Kaz going for what looks like a power slam. Cody turns it into a crossroads and gets the victory. Good match, man. Like really enjoyed this match. And then Adam Page comes out. He and Cody celebrate briefly. And they go after Kazarian. They set him up for an Angel's Wings. Again, Kaz is Christopher Daniels. His partner, his homeboy, his brother. So this would have been a clear message to Daniels, as Cody is eventually coming for that title. But before he can hit the move, Daniels comes out in a suit, full suit. Thank you, Chris, looking sharp. And chases off two members of the Bullet Club to save his boy. And we go off air. Good match, man. Good match. Actually, like, just a really fun show. And I think the thing that that got me more than anything else with this is it feels like Ring of Honor is finally, since I've been watching it consistently, working on putting story at the top and at the middle. Like, everybody's, not everybody, but all the major players are in storylines now, and they're good, interesting stories. Great character work from everybody. I really feel like they're moving into not a different direction, but it feels more complete and fleshed out, as opposed to, okay, this is just a match. And that's going to happen. You know, they're wrestling shows. You're going to get those matches that are just cool to watch, but from a story standpoint, they're completely inconsequential. Where everything, not everything, most things on the show seem to matter, and there seem to be stakes, and everything seems to be going somewhere, and there's conflict. It's not just matches. You can have matches, and if the presentation is 100%, not 100%, but, you know, is sport driven, is competition driven, you can do that and be fine. But if you're going to have levels of conflict between people, you need, and in this sort of episodic, the episodic nature of TV, you need story to get you places. And I think that this episode in particular seems like a bit of a turning point for the company in total. Now, if we could just get a tag team division, like dedicated tag teams, I'll say it again. I think they really need to look at Coast to Coast and see if they can build those guys as a credible threat to the Young Bucks. I love them. I love those guys. I don't think I've heard an interview with either one of those dudes yet, but I'm high on them, and I would like to see. I like the Young Bucks at the top. I think it would be interesting to see them chase somebody that's not named Hardy. You know what I mean? But it would be interesting to see them with a young team and a story. So other than that, man, good stuff. Really good show. If you haven't watched it, again, I now, because it's just difficult to find them on cable. I now watch Ring of Honor on the Fight app. It's a little delayed because you're getting this the day after you're getting this podcast, a day after it's released on Fight Network, which is 2 days or a day, depending on where you are, after they've released it on cable. But the, you know, and not to, I guess I am putting Fight TV over, or Fight, the Fight app over. The streams never failed me. It's crystal clear. The sound's fantastic. And, you know, I've never had the stream break up or anything. So if you're having a hard time, getting it anywhere else, quite frankly, the Ring of Honor website hasn't worked for me either. Ring of Honor, can I get some help on that? But if you're having a problem finding Ring of Honor in your market, and you don't mind waiting a couple of days, and if you do it that way, we'll be synced up. It's free. You know, get it on the Fight app. It's free. That's the show, man. This was a long one. Another long one. I guess I don't know how to do it any other way. So that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Follow me on Twitter at Gerald L. Cooper. Russell Worldcast. World without the O. Which is our WWPN Twitter. And go to the central hub of the WWPN, which is the WWPN. We kept it simple for you. It's easy. Articles, podcast. Week two of putting over the Andrew Bellows awesome article. Again, right up my alley. Why Finn Balor's the perfect babyface. Listen to the Red Zone. Listen to the Blue Zone. The Next Level podcast. Let me talk to you. Strong Style Central. Sunday segue. And big ups to Kenny Killer because he got a great get this past week. And Dan the Beast Severn. Great interview. Kenny's an awesome interviewer. Kenny's a great, great interviewer. And I don't know what his background is, if he's got a journalism thing, but Kenny knows how to pull stuff out of people in a very sort of subversive is the wrong word, because that makes it sound like, you know, some Machiavellian stuff. But he knows how to get the most out of his subjects in an interview. And he didn't have to do this with Dan. I would have never thought Dan Severn could talk. Express himself about what's going on. Just that dude's an open book and absolutely worth going back to listen to. So remember, Sunday segue from this past Sunday. Check it out. And there's little old me. Hour of Honor. If you've been with me from the beginning, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spread the word. Share it on Twitter. Please, please, please rate and review the WWPN World Wrestling World Podcast Network. Almost. Wasn't a full one. Rate us. Review us. You know, I think. I said it before and I'll say it again. I think we're up there with any podcast network. Not to toot our own horn. Not to pat ourselves on the back. Not to put ourselves over. But putting us over. We're awesome. Watch the shows, review us, name drop, please, by all means, and share. Get on that Twitter, get on that Facebook. You know how to work those iPhones. Get the word out. Let the world know that you are listening to something pretty fucking awesome, and they should be listening to the WWPN. And don't forget the 5 stars. 6 stars! Sorry, you know what I mean. 5-star ratings, give them up. Give them up. I think we deserve them. There's some great work going on here at the WWPN and getting better. And we got to shout out JB one more time. Smart Talk. I know I'm slated for one. I'm completely disorganized. I'm bad with dates. But I am hoping to be on. I think it's going to be next Wednesday. And should be a great show. JB, the prodigal one. Check it out. And he is actually on YouTube exclusive. He's got some YouTube exclusives going on there. So that's it for me. I've rambled on long enough. Thank you for listening. Glad you're enjoying the show. and I'll talk to you soon.